didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything." We might have been better off far on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. On the strength. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything." I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. On the string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
I am deeply honored to speak with you tonight as the World Jewish Congress gathers in New York City with the leaders from across the world. First, I want to thank Ronald Lauder, not only for his many years of friendship, and he truly has been my good friend. He even predicted early that I was going to win the presidency, but also for his leadership of this organization. He's done a fantastic job. Today, we're reminded of this organization's long and heroic history fighting for the Jewish people. Your brave leaders warned the world of the planned atrocities that sought to extinguish an entire people. On Yom HaShoah, we look back at the darkest chapter of human history. We mourn, we remember, we pray, and we pledge, never again. I say it, never again. The mind cannot fathom the pain, the horror, and the loss. 6 million Jews, two-thirds of the Jews in Europe, murdered by the Nazi genocide. They were murdered by an evil that words cannot describe and that the human heart cannot bear. On this Holocaust Remembrance Day, we tell the stories of the fathers, mothers, and children whose lives were extinguished and whose love was torn from this earth. We also tell the stories of courage in the face of death, humanity, in the face of barbarity, and the unbreakable spirit of the Jewish people. Today, only decades removed from the Holocaust, we see a great nation risen from the desert, and we see a proud Star of David waving above the State of Israel. That star is a symbol of Jewish perseverance. It's a monument to unyielding strength. We recall the famous words attributed to Theodor Herzl, "If you will it, it is no dream."
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and it is morning at this time. No, you're not going to receive this in the morning. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker. And guess what? This is Happy H Day. H Corporate Day. Yeah. Instead of being the N word, it's the H word. But it's a corporate Shoah word. Yeah. Now, it seems funny to me, strange to me at least, that if you've done your research, you'll find that more Armenians died at the hands of the Turks than Jews at the hands of the Germans. And more people of Pol Pot's country than the Jews that died in World War II. The problem with this H word is that it's an exaggeration. I don't know of any serious person that studied history that doesn't know that several thousand Jews died. There's no doubt about that. A lot of them were killed on the Eastern Front by the Soviets, too. So, the president, I guess, does the Hollywood Nazis support this guy? Don't make sense. If the Nazis, so-called Nazis, are supporting this great white hope, because he's a two-faced son of a bitch. That's all I can say. I detected that early on, even though there's some things he says I like. But you'll take notice, he hasn't accomplished almost anything that he said he was going to do. So we'll just have to wait and see about that. A lot of Jews were complaining today because they talk about the Holocaust without even mentioning the Jews in a lot of the ads. And now the Jews are all pissed off about that. Well, if you believe in the Holocaust, well, that would be, I guess, a part of it, that you'd have to include Jews. But of course, 85% of this is just going through the motions. You know that. I know that. All the politicians know that. Most of those congressmen despise this holiday, or whatever you want to call it. Happy H Day. But they've got to go along with it, or they lose their job. And lose their money, lose everything. When any group of people get that powerful, then you got a problem. It's not to see the Jews put their pants on one leg at a time too, and just even being reasonably fair about it, you got to know that there's a large percentage of Jews that are criminals. But even the worst Jewish criminals, they tend to play down the news about their operations, and like the Orthodox Jews in New York being sexual perverts all over the place. They love sexual perversion. Like that judge in San Diego I told you about years ago, that was actually hiring prostitutes, and he'd go in and squat over them and shit on their chest. And when that was exposed, he didn't lose his job. He went right back to work. Can you imagine anybody else involved, exposed as being involved with that stuff, not being fired or worse? You do know that the largest percentage of people involved in sexual perversion have been Jews. There's plenty of Christians in it, too. So we know that. We know about all the Christian preachers that are into pornography and everything else, and the priests that are raping little kids down through time. We know all that. What the president doesn't tell you is that the largest percentage of the Jews that died just walked in there and got killed. They didn't resist. A few resisted, but not many. And when the both the German SS leader and the chief rabbi there in, I think it was Bucharest, Romania, asked for one ship from Roosevelt, one ship that they could get those Jews out of there. Roosevelt wouldn't do it. We need every ship for the war effort. That was bullshit. Of course, they could use every ship for the war effort, but they could have let loose of one big ship. That's the part of the history that nobody wants to talk about. The big shots and the big shot Jews that sold their people out here in the United States, that had the power and the money to do more than they did, and they didn't do it. So I think if you're going to cast aspersions against anybody, you got to cast it against Jews that let their fellow Jews go to the, not the gas chambers, go to their deaths with one way or another. H word is making a fortune for many people, Jews and non-Jews alike. All their movies and all their TV shows and all their sympathy they get a lot of it, and it's a business, it's an industry. If they would approach this in a calm, rational way and simply end with there were several thousand Jews that were killed, that's acceptable. Even the Red Cross tells that. But they're not interested in that. This is what keeps them and helps them maintain power and lots of money. Israel, we just gave Israel one of these brand new fighter jets, F-35, I believe. They haven't given them to anybody else in the world. But the Jews got them. So as long as all this kind of stuff goes on, you're going to have people that don't like the Jews, or many that hate the Jews for good reason. And the Palestinians and people like that really hate them, because technically that's the biggest ripoff that's come around in a long, long time. The state of Israel taking over Palestine. The Jews never had a homeland in Israel. They were always a mixed multitude of multiracial people, even coming out of Egypt. And there's another thing, all those stories about those miracles coming out of Egypt with the Jews. Even Jewish professors and researchers have poo-pooed most of those stories. Just about every miraculous story they tell in the Old Testament has been poo-pooed by Jews themselves. Actually, Jewish hatred, or people hate the Jewish concept, are growing around the world. They're not lessening. And it wasn't so much among the non-whites, but now the non-whites are taking off with it. So whether it's the Muslims or whoever, you know, it's funny because the Muslim religion came out of Judaism, and so did Christianity. Yeah. So have a nice H day. And that's the corporate H day. You might as well turn off your TV and radio or what else. You're going to hear it all day today and all night and for several days. Yeah. And most people believe every goddamn thing they tell them. You can tell them about anything and they'll believe it. Especially if you keep pounding it into their head on television and the radio and everything. So I'd like for you to contact the Hollywood Nazis. You know, there are quite a number of those guys around. And ask them, what do they got to say about this? I thought they were backing Mr. Trump. What happened? Are they still backing Mr. Trump? Very interesting. You know, the cleverest ruse that they've pulled on this thing is to get you to recognize the H word. Do you notice how most of the time they've dropped the use of the 6 million? They still use it now and then, but mostly they don't. That's because they know they can't prove 6 million Jews died. But once they get the word, the H word, synonymous with 6 million, then they drop the 6 million and just use the H word. So if you say, I don't agree with that H word because it's supposedly represents 6 million, well, you're automatically an anti-Semite. It's very clever the way they work that. They don't say you believe in the Holocaust, the H word. And if you say, well, what do you mean? Well, 6 million died. Well, how about 400,000? Oh, you're still an anti-Semite. So the word, the H word, is a clever deal because it pushes you into a corner and nobody can criticize without being anti-Semitic. Because there's lots of people who are not anti-Jew that realize that it's not, no way, it's not possible. There's no possibility that 6 million Jews could have died. You just figure it out, even the crematoriums and how many they can burn up in a week or a day, and where did all the ashes go and all that kind of stuff. It's totally ridiculous. But if then people could say, well, yeah, I agree, maybe 200,000, 400,000, something like that. But then you can say also 55 million people died in World War II. And a good share of them were white or Japanese Asians or something like that. But that don't count. You don't count. You're only a goyim. You're only a goyim. Some of the times I've shocked people when they said, do you believe in the H word? I said, frankly, Charlotte, Scarlet, I don't give a damn. That stops them dead. They don't even want to talk to you after that. As one of our friends suggested, we use the H word from now on. Just the H word. Never say Holocaust. Oops, I said it. Question may be, if you have a dislike for even one Jew, aren't you anti-Semitic? Anti-Jew, that's another thing. Don't use anti-Semitic. That's a slippery slope. No, anti-Jew. And also, whenever they talk about World War II and the Germans and the so-called Nazis, don't use Nazi. Use German. It was the will of the German nation, whatever happened. That's something people forget. Most of the hierarchy of the Japanese Imperial Army were Shintoists, but we don't, in the movies or anything else, we don't call them those damn Shintoists. I've noticed in a good couple of good Russian films, they don't say Nazi. They say German, and that's what it should be. I think the World War II did more to stop 6 million Jews from being killed than started, because I think with Stalin and Hitler in a peace pact cooperating with each other, they'd have probably really done a number on the Jews. And that might have added up to 6 million. Another question, how many Jewish war criminals have been punished? Some say Eichmann. Some say Eichmann was a Jew, and he may have been. He spoke fluent Hebrew, and he was raised in a Jewish neighborhood and so forth. But you know, there were gobs of Jewish war criminals in Russia working for Stalin. Kazanovich, the wolf in the Kremlin. You can read all this stuff. He killed tens of thousands. Stalin said, go get him, and he did. He went into Stalingrad before, I think it was before World War II, and executed all kinds of doctors, lawyers, and artistic people, and scientific people that were Jewish, and he was a Jew. So when are they going to start prosecuting these Jewish war criminals that are still alive? A lot of them are still alive. I don't think you'll ever see a significant number of Jewish war criminals prosecuted. Personally, I'd like to see Oppenheimer prosecuted for developing the hydrogen bomb. Talk about a possible war criminal. That could still come back and bite us in the ass. Now, I see this morning the little Cupid doll over North Korea says he's going to send a missile into one of our big ships. I wonder if he's working for the CIA. The dumb things he says just gives him more excuse to bomb his country. A lot of leaders of countries have had the martyr complex to bring the whole country down around them. You know, Castro had that. Finally, Khrushchev figured it out almost too late and got those damn missiles out of there, because Castro wanted to let them go at the United States and make Cuba a martyr nation to the world. When Castro first moved those, Khrushchev first moved those missiles in there, he had no idea the psychology, the psychotic nature of Fidel Castro. Well, I see the peace-loving Jews reportedly send some planes into the pro-regime bases in Syria over the weekend and bombed them. Talk about a provocation, an act of war. I don't think you have to hate Jews because of their religion, because all these religions are screwed and crazy cults. You just have to judge them on the things they do. It's easy enough to hate a lot of Jews based on what they do, and you can even read it in the papers a lot of times. If you were a Syrian and supported Assad, wouldn't you hate the Jews for flying into Israel and bombing, taking advantage of the U.S. bombing campaign in Syria? Want to get their little licks in? Probably the Great White Hope encouraged them, too. Because the Great White Hope is definitely a warmonger. Definitely your deliverer of the white race. Donald Trump is a warmonger, and he's on his way to becoming a war criminal. You wait and see. Already he bombed that airbase over there in Syria and killed several people. I guess several people don't count. Nowadays, even thousands of people don't count. In fact, no people count anymore unless you're in a power position. And then you may go too at any time. Well, I see Georgia's Kennesaw State University is hosting a camel and a kangaroo on their campus for the Israel Festival. What's that all about? Now, this morning when I was half asleep, I tuned in. I go across the dial left to right to see what they're talking about. And Glenn Pecker was on there. This guy's got to be a little crazy. I mean, most of these talk show guys are a little crazy, but Glenn Pecker, he's something else, and he's using all the terminology of the left, fascist and all this. I'm going to play you a little clip here and see if you can figure it out.
From us, I'm going to start with France. The French went to the polls yesterday, and their candidates, the list of candidates were much more like, you know, one of those a socialist and a fascist walk into a bar. It was a joke. That's what France had to choose from. The results were exactly as expected. The top three candidates were Macron, he's a socialist, Le Pen, a fascist, and Mélenchon, the communist. For the first time in modern history, none of the top three finalists represented one of the major political parties. Macron and Le Pen now move to the second round of elections in 2 weeks. We have 14 days. The winner of that vote will be the next president. The French and the European political elite have shifted now into full-on crisis mode. Nearly every candidate has urged their supporters to now cast their votes for Macron. Who's Macron? Macron is, he's a socialist. He's not in the Socialist Party, but he was working for Hollande and doesn't really have any experience and is seen as a guy who really doesn't have any real connections, but he does. He is the elite of the elite. He is a big-time socialist and big-time globalist. I don't know if you heard, but President Obama and Angela Merkel got involved. Weird, uncomfortable phone call with Macron and Obama, where he's like, hey, keep fighting on, as you know, could be that last day of campaigning that turns things around. Everybody is frightened of Le Pen, and they should be. Well, everybody, almost everybody is frightened. This is really important for you to understand. The Trotskyist communist Mélenchon is the only one that is not rallying against Le Pen. Now here's the communist, who is the only political candidate who is not rallying the forces. Why? What's a communist doing supporting the far-right borderline fascist? Well, if you're a longtime listener of the program, I remember getting mocked for saying it, but I believe the far left and the far right would work together
yes.
with a common goal, and they would be joined by the Islamicists. Do you remember that? Just days before, speaking of which, ISIS struck France with another terror attack. Now, what usually happens, ISIS usually strikes and then they wait several days before they claim responsibility. But in this case, the moment it happened, ISIS was there saying, it's us, it's us. Why? This attack may very well end up being the Comey letter for Marine Le Pen. Will this be the final straw, or one of the final straw that forces the undecideds to vote for Le Pen? Why would ISIS care who wins the French presidency? The ISIS imams over in France have been preaching that a major goal of their operations in the West is to provoke such a severe crackdown on Muslims that many would become sympathetic to the caliphate. And that is exactly what Le Pen is offering. So the first thing you need to watch is how many times will ISIS strike France in the next 14 days to get people to go, screw it. Enough of this playing foot.
So there you go. He goes on and on. He meanders all over the place. What does he want? So what if the communists back the fascist? They're using this fascist like, World War II or something. These people are not fascists. And probably the so-called communist is not much of a communist. But if they decide to work together or one support the other, all the bells and buzzers go off. So, and also this Macron guy, he was employed by the big bank. I don't think it was the Rothschild, but some big bank there in France, according to what I heard. So, some socialist he is. I mean, if you go by the original meaning of socialist. And Le Pen, she canned her own father, who created the party, who did have some good points about race. And now she's off trying to recruit Muslims, too. And she's trying to come across as a Trump. But she's not going to win, I don't believe. I don't think she can win. unless, like Glenn Pecker says, some ISIS pulls off another bombing or something. But you see how the chaos factor is working its way out? The chaos factor everywhere in the world, the chaos factor is on the march. And my point is that that's not all that bad. And it more sticks with the idea of Mother Nature, might is right and may the strong survive. So, anyhow, that's a little thing there. Listening to Glenn Beck is like getting into one of these revolving doors at a big building downtown New York, and the thing won't let you out. You get stuck, and he's stuck in a revolving door because he tries to make things so complicated that nobody can really understand what he's talking about. Plus, he's 100% Judeophile. Jews could do no wrong, and he's, of course, he converted to be a Mormon, which is, might as well be a Jew, because Mormonism has got a lot of masonry in it. If you go up there to Salt Lake City and go into the temple, look up in the ceiling, you'll see all kinds of Jewish-type symbols. Well, I got my first subscription from Greece today, or the other day. How about that? So we'll see how lone wolf operations go over there. Anytime somebody asks for information, I send them out my survival manual. And I think that pretty much says it all. I think it does. I'm getting quite a few contacts now from fresh blood, new blood, young guys, students, college, and so forth. They want to listen anyhow. You ever notice anybody the Jew press or corporate press or whatever, whoever they don't like, they call far right. Far right. Now, wouldn't it be enough to say right wing? This person is to the right. But to show that this one's really not acceptable at all, they say far right. Far right. It's a joke. Almost never hear him say far left. Far left. How do you like far middle of the road? Far middle of the road. For the past several months, eyes across the world have been trained on the growing far right movement sweeping Europe and America. From the neo-Nazi groups in Germany and the United States, where they have their conventions in a phone booth, to the increasing popularity of France's National Front, that's been around a long time. But another far less noticed, but sometimes equally radical movement is also emerging across Europe. The rise of pro-Islam political parties, some with foreign support from the Muslim world. And the trend shows no sign of stopping. Well, why not? It's a big liberal deal, except everybody. Holland Dink, the Think Party, established and led by two Turkish immigrants, is among the most significant. Dink won three seats in the Dutch parliament last month, becoming the country's fastest growing new party, according to the Dutch daily NRC newspaper. You got that? The fastest growing party in Europe, headed off by two Turks. The white race can't wait to commit suicide. They're just chomping at the mouth. They're into necrophilia, negrophilia, and they're into Judeophilia, and they're into Judeophilia. Next, they'll really be into it with necrophilia. That may be the party platform. Its platform is to replace ideas of integration with mutual acceptance. Well, that's a softer word. I'll bet some Jew dreamt that up for him. A charming but antiquated idea in a culture where one group accepts gay marriage and the other is taught that homosexuals should be shoved off tall buildings. I think I'd take the middle of the road on that. It's also proposed the establishment of a dedicated anti-racism police force. There you go. You getting ready for that? I'm all ready for that. I wonder if that new Alabama church that's going to have a police force is going to turn into that. Radical Christians, who are also radical Judeophiles, could easily be turned into a go get those neo-Nazis. Yeah. If you don't believe it, I've been among them when they uncorked on that stuff. They love Israel and the Jews more than they love their own country or probably their own families. And that's a big danger, as far as I'm concerned, to our ideas. While not the first of such Islamic parties in European politics, Denk's March 15 election victory has made it an inspiration to others. Islamic parties now see a new chance for success. While political aspirants across Europe are making plans to start similar parties of their own. Europe's going to die. United States is going to die. Hence, while the focus of this week's French elections will be on Marine Le Pen's National Front, who's a limp-wristed fascist. She's no more fascist than my dog. In fact, we'd be better off with fascism. Many European Muslims will also be watching the Equality and Justice Party, led by French Turk Sakar Kolak. Yeah. Like Denk, the Turkish guy, this French party claims to be a voice for the downtrodden. Yeah. Downtrodden Islamists. Fighting inequalities and injustice. Isn't that what they always say? They're fighting inequalities and injustice, like white middle class and poor whites are pushing them around, and it's too bad, got to get rid of them. According to a report by the Turkish Anadolu News Agency, but also like Denk, PEJ has been accused of representing Turkey's president, a man who has spoken out against assimilation. Ooh, well, I like that. He's spoken out against assimilation. Maybe, no wonder there's a lot of U.S. politicians don't like him. And integration. And called on European Turks to reject Western values. Well, this Turk is looking better all the time. No wonder he's got a lot of enemies. And the PEJ is not alone in France. The French Union of Muslim Democrats, founded in 2012, made headlines when it entered the 2015 electoral race. Now, you see, to digress, all this shit comes from U.S. involvement in North Africa. All of it. All this bullshit and the invasion of Europe and how it's destroying Europe can be put at the feet of the military-industrial complex and the Pentagon of this country. God damn it! Don't you see that? Its platforms seem more moderate than many of its fellow Muslim parties across Europe. You know, it's interesting to see over the weekend that the Taliban over there in Afghanistan pulled a pretty cool caper and killed 140 of the Afghanistan army troops, and maybe some U.S. troops too. You know, my theory is on this thing that you don't invade other countries. Period. Not our business, and it shouldn't be done. And you definitely don't occupy other countries, because then you're going to have things happen you don't like to happen. The Taliban was running Afghanistan pretty well, even though you disagree with their religion or whatever. The Taliban was doing a pretty good job of keeping Afghanistan under control and also knocking off the drug heroin operations. it went to zero, almost zero in Afghanistan under the Taliban. And so we go in and fight the Taliban, and then U.S. troops are put to work even cultivating the poppy fields for the heroin to go into Europe and screw up Europe. I mean, we are fucked by ourselves, you know that? We're always fucked by ourselves, and that's why none of these damn guys in Washington, not one ever, should be supported. And you should, if you're a praying person, P-R-A-Y-ing person, you should pray for the death of every one of them. Or if you're a P-R-E-Y-ing person, that's another story. UDMF founder Naguib Ezzergi has insisted in interviews that he respects the secular foundation of the French Republic. Well, that's good, but we don't want to race mix with you anyhow, and advocates a philosophy and civic education classes that would help mitigate against the recruitment efforts of the Muslim extremists. It's still going to be integration. He's just using another tactic. They come at you at all kinds of tactics. If you don't like one tactic or one person who's running for office, they'll give you another. They'll give you whatever you think you want, and which obviously you don't need. The party does, however, seek to establish Sharia complaint banks and calls for Turkey to become a member of the European Union. Oh, that's crap. If I was Turkey, I don't think I'd want to become a part of it. Further, UDMF seeks to reinstall the right of Muslim girls to wear headscarves in public schools. Well, you know how I feel about rights. I don't believe in rights at all. There are no rights. They're only privileges. So they gave them privileges to wear scarves, and now they took it away. They didn't want to wear a hair scarf. You know, this kind of argument is like the anti-abortion and several things they argue about all the time in this country to keep you distracted. It's all to keep you distracted. Oh my God, we're going to die. They're wearing a scarf over their head. Well, many Christians do the same thing right here in this country. I know several sects of Christian religion where they wear coverings in church. Austria, too, has seen a rise in Islamic political parties. Well, why didn't the government stop it? If the ruling class didn't want it, it wouldn't happen. Such as the new movement for the future NBZ, which, like DINK and PEJ, was founded by Turkish invaders. Yeah. Not immigrants, invaders. They weren't asked to come. Unlike the other parties, however, NBZ has made little effort to hide its loyalty to Turkey. There you got a fifth column right there. Following the failed 2016 Turkish coup, for instance, its leader, Adnan Dincer, called on Austria to respect Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's clampdown and mass arrest that followed. Another thing we shouldn't have our nose into. Internal squabbles have to be taken care of by people internally. It is worth noting, however, that Austria's far right has been particularly virulent in its anti-Islam activity, calling for Islam itself to be banned from the country. Of course it should be. And all the Islamics moved out. That's why I supported the Yugoslavs against the Islamics. Such motions inevitably bring forth counter movements from the targeted groups, and it was those actions that inspired Dincer to form NBC. You see, they just keep coming up with new groups until finally they take over. But it was Dink's success above all that inspired Lebanese-Belgium activist Dayoub Abu Yahya to establish his newest political effort, a party, to date unnamed, aimed at making Brussels great again, a la Bernie Sanders. No, that was Trump. According to an interview in the Belgium newspaper, Die Morgen. Well, I got to go along with the father of the country, George Washington, who said that these political parties are bad, we shouldn't have political parties. And the political parties are the beginning of the destruction of any country. They sure are. This would be the third attempt at political relevance for Jaha, who first came into the public eye in 2002 as the founder of the Brussels-based Arab European League, a pan-European political group that aimed to create what he called a Europe-wide sharocracy, a Sharia-based democracy. When's there going to be a Sharia-based democracy? Do you see any of that stuff in the Middle East? I don't see any Sharia-based democracy. In 2003, the AEL organized a political party called Resist. Hey, watch that stuff. To run in Brussels elections. It received a mere 10,000 votes. Well, give me 10,000 people, I can do a lot of damage. Now, Jaja, who also runs an activist group called Movement X, hopes to run in Brussels 2018 elections. While his party has yet to declare a platform, his anti-American, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, and anti-European rants on Facebook and elsewhere give an indication of his plans. So too did a recent blog post which he wrote. We must defeat the forces of supremacy, the forces of sustained privileges, and the forces of the status quo. We must defeat them in every possible arena. Yeah. And he is not alone. Days after Denk's win, fellow Belgium Ahmed Kok announced his own initiative, the details of which are also yet to be determined. But some things are easy enough to predict on the basis of his past. The Turkish-Belgian politician was thrown out of Belgian Socialist Party in 2016. For supporting Erdogan's efforts to censor Europeans who insulted him publicly. Well, if they insult him publicly in his country, he has every right if he has the power to do it. He also called for Belgian Turks to rise up against the traitors of the 2016 coup. I think he's the biggest coupist. Both Kok and Jaja will have reckoned with the Islam Party, which has already established itself in Brussels, Belgium, founded in 2012. Islam, which is an acronym for Integrate, Solidate, Libertate, Authenticate, Moralate, is unapologetically religious. And whenever you get religion involved, you're screwed. So far, the existing parties have had a great deal of success, and the emerging parties have yet to make their platforms known, let alone acquire active supporters. But as Denk founder Tuninan Kazoo proudly announced after the March elections, a new voice has now gained power in European government, the Fifth Column. But what that voice ultimately will be and the strength of its commitment to secular and democratic values remains yet to be seen. Well, all I can say about that is that you deserve what you permit. Now, if the white race has become so weak and so self-hating that it allows this to happen, then they deserve to fail. They deserve to be run out of Europe. And same way here in America, United States. If the white race is too weak, cowardly, and to reject all the people that are talking sense about the racial problem, and there is no equality, then United States has to go down the tube too. It'll probably go down the tube due to some kind of a war with hydrogen bombs and stuff. but it'll probably socially go down a tube, is already socially down a tube. I noticed in the area where I'm at, out of about 20 doctors on the internet, I saw only about 2 that were white. Interesting. It does not mean that these are not good doctors. It just means that they're not white doctors. And we have not promoted medical educations among white people enough. They've not been able to get the money to graduate as a doctor and so forth. So we've done it to ourselves. We've imported all these people. We've imported these people from the third world because, here again, it's the dollar. It's the dollar. I notice even the price of pizza is going up. I notice where I'm at, pizza, a decent pizza is around $20, maybe $21. Wow, that's inflation. That is inflation. Cars are going up. Your food is going up, which is going to drive the so-called ex-middle class, or poor whites, which we're all among, even farther down. So get ready for bad times. Worse is better, but it's going to be tough.